To the program. Indeed, we are blessed this evening. We have a team from Lighthouse Chapel International, from the headquarters, not from any branch, but from the headquarters. I want us to stand on our feet and clap for the team that came here this morning. The team that came here today. Let's clap for them. All right, then take your seats. Take your seats. We thank the Lord for tonight. We have a preacher for tonight. She's a woman I love most. Actually, listen. Actually, she mentors me, but she doesn't know. I listen to her a lot. Every Saturday morning at 9 a.m., I listen to her. She has touched so many lives. She has been in so many schools. And today is our turn. The Lord has prepared a vessel for us. And she is a woman of God, the wife of the Bishop of Lighthouse Chapel. With a standing ovation again and a mighty clap offering, shall we welcome the ministry of Lady Reverend Adelaide Hewell Mills. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a warm welcome. I feel so at home already. But you know why we're here this evening? It's because of a man who paid the price and went to the cross. And he's the most important person in our midst this evening. So I want you to give a resounding applause to Jesus Christ, the one who really matters. Give him praise. Give him praise. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Give him praise. Give him praise. He is worthy. Amen. Now we share a word of prayer. Shall we pray? Jesus, we celebrate you this evening. Amen. Thank you for you are our light and our salvation. Amen. Thank you for your finished work on the cross. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of sharing your word. Amen. You could have chosen so today. But Lord, you chose to use a handmaiden of clay like me. Father, let there be a cleansing by your blood. Take these lips of clay and anoint them. And let them speak words from your heart. Let them speak words from heaven. Holy Spirit, I release myself totally into your hands. Use me in any way you see fit. And let the word of God accomplish the reason for which it's being sent out this evening. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy to minister your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Please take your seats. I would like to thank God for an opportunity like this to share the unadulterated word of God with you. Amen. And I would also like to thank my husband, the bishop, under whose covering and ministry I stand. Amen. He's also my pastor, and I thank God for his life. And I also want to give respect to whom it is due. I want to thank the authorities of your school for allowing us to be here. It is a privilege. And I want to thank you also for being here this evening. So God bless us all. Amen. This evening, I don't intend to be very long. Amen. But I pray that the Lord will cause you to be attentive, and the Lord will cause you to be changed by the preaching of his word. Amen. I want to thank your lovely teacher for her kind words, and I pray that we will always live to please God. Amen. Come with me to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Some of you, you don't know where the book of Mark is. But you know where other things are that you have no business knowing about. Amen. But when you are faced with the issues of life, it is not those things that will save you. It is the word of God. The word of God has been a true anchor in my life. And the word of God has brought me very, very, very far in my walk with God. And so because of that, I don't joke with the word of God, because I know that it is by his mercies that I am not consumed. Amen. Are you at Mark 4? Okay, I was talking a lot, so I'm now coming. Verse 14. I don't want to read the whole parable. Are you ready? Verse 13. And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" Turn to the version I... Verse 14. "The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground." It's talking about the seed and the different places in which the seed falls. "Who, when they have heard the word, immediately receiveth with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world," everybody say the cares of this world, "and the deceitfulness of riches," everybody say the deceitfulness of riches, "and the lust of other things," everybody say the lust of other things, "entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word of God, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Amen. Now the Bible is talking about a very popular parable. And it's saying that the sower went out to sow some seeds. When the sower sowed the seeds, some of them fell by the wayside. And Jesus is saying that the ones that fell by the wayside depicts a certain category of people. These are they, when the word has been sown, it is sown all right. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Amen. I want to talk to you about why some people are not serious with God? Why some people are not serious with God? The Bible is talking about the parable of the sower. And it's saying that the sower went out to sow. Some of the seed fell by the wayside. The wayside is a place people walk. The wayside is a place where there's a lot of human activity. When the seed was sown, the people heard it. Their hearts received it. But immediately, Satan came and took the word away from their hearts. And therefore, they were not able to progress beyond hearing the word of God. Many of you have been brought up in churches. Many of you have heard the word of God preached many times. Many of you attend church every Sunday you are here. Many of you, even sometimes you don't want to hear the word of God. You sit in a taxi and you are constrained to hear the word of God. When you hear the word, you say to yourself, oh, it's true, you know. I should give some serious thought to the word of God. Oh, you true is no, you know it's true. I should make some changes in my life. But as soon as you hear, you receive it. But Satan comes immediately, not later. Immediately. And he steals the word away from you. The Bible says in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. So it is Satan's stock in trade to steal anything, including the word of God. But he can never steal the word from our hearts without our permission. So the kind of soil that we allow the word of God to fall on depends on us. And tonight, there are four different types of soil. Which one are you? And which one are you going to leave here becoming? Amen, somebody. Some of you even go to charismatic churches and you think that that means that you are a Christian. And you think that that means that you are born again. And you think that that means that you are going to heaven. And you think that that means that God is pleased with you. But belonging to a church, you may belong to Lighthouse, you may belong to Methodist, but if the word of God has not taken some root and borne some fruit in your life, you are not going anywhere to happen. And how does Satan come to steal this word from our hearts? Some of you, he comes in the form of that foolish boy in Form 2. Some of you, it comes in the form of that foolish girl across the road from your house. God uses men, and so does Satan. God uses men. When I say men, I mean gender neutral, men and women, boys and girls, and so does Satan. So sometimes you see that you come to church or you come into contact with the word of God and you say, oh, I really want to be devoted now. I want to go all out with Christ. But Satan sends his agents. And immediately you see that girl, you become confused. Immediately, you see that foolish boy say, Lady Reverend, when I see him, my knees are weak. I can't walk. Amen, somebody. As soon as the word of God is sown, Satan comes immediately and he takes the word away from our hearts. Turn to your neighbor and say, who is Satan's agent that's taking the word away from your heart? Let's be frank tonight. Many of you have heard the word of salvation. Order. It's okay. I said say to your neighbor. It's not a long sentence. Order. Order in court. Many of you have heard the gospel preached. You have attended programs. You have heard the call for salvation. Now it doesn't even do anything to you anymore because you are now hardened. You know, in the jails, we have hardened criminals. You are also hardened towards the word of God. And every time the word comes, Satan sends an agent your way to steal the word. Sometimes the agent may be your own evil desires, but we will come to that. So that's the first category where the word has fallen, the seed has fallen by the wayside. Verse 16, and these are they likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises, why? For the word's sake, immediately they are offended. It's an old-fashioned word, which means that immediately they draw back. Amen. What the Bible is saying is that this is the group that when they hear the word of God, they receive it gladly. But they have no depth of consecration, no root to endure, no stability to stand persecution, trial, and misunderstanding, which are sure to come. Amen. Well, Lady Reverend, what does this mean? Let's break it down. They are sown. The word is sown. But because their hearts are stony ground, when they hear the word, they receive it with gladness. They stand up and they say, preach, preacher. They shout, preach on. They turn around, oh my, what a word. They receive it with gladness. And it's important how you receive the word. It is an important thing. You can't just be sitting there and then you are not moved. You have made yourself like a cadaver, a dead body. You come alive only after certain entertainment. We see you alive. But when the word of God comes, you have made yourself body like body falls. It's good to receive the word with gladness. Amen. And the Bible is saying, when the word of God comes, they receive it with gladness. The way you receive the word is important. But beyond receiving the word with gladness, you must move on to the next step. The Bible says, and have no root in themselves. Many people feel their roots should be in their church. It's good to belong to a good church. But the roots within you should come from within. Amen? The Bible says they have no root in themselves. And so what does it make them do? And so they endure only for a short time. Unless your roots grow deep down in God, you will not endure. Unless you have roots in yourself, you will not endure. And many of us have no root in ourselves. Our root is in our friends. What your friends think. What your friends say is right. What your friends say is the latest. Where your friends say they are going to jam this holiday. Where your friends are going to go to a beach party. You have no root in yourself. Amen. Some of you, you are even dual citizens. You are half heaven, half hell. In school, you are a different person. At home, you are a different person. And you lead secret lives. And God is giving you a chance tonight to turn around. The Bible says they have no root in themselves. And so because of that, they don't endure for long. Salvation is a personal thing. It is not a crony or friendship thing. The Bible says, work out your own salvation. Not somebody else's, your own. With fear and trembling. Amen. But many times, you want to move in groups. You want to move in cliques. When this one, we all have boyfriends and they are all in duets. We all have some things we talk about and we are all in the same circle. Salvation is not like that. When I was growing up, I had a very good friend. From nursery to primary school. Throughout primary school to high school. Throughout high school, O level, A level, to Lagon. And as we grew up, we were all in the same Sunday school and we all loved the things of God. By the grace of God, I got born again from the age of 9. And I have no regrets. God delivered me from a lot of foolishness and a lot of unnecessary heartaches and from becoming a casualty in many things. The Lord delivered me. And so both of us were Christians walking on the same road. But by the time we got to Form 5, my friend saw another light. Thank God that he had taught me that salvation was not only a personal decision, but also a personal walk. She was my best friend for many years. But when we got to Form 5 and the changes began, I didn't have to go and tell her that, you know, since you've changed, these days don't talk to me anymore. I didn't have to say that. She herself saw that. She couldn't share certain things with me. And she saw that the relationship was changing. She was still my friend, but we chose two different paths. And we walked on those two different paths, even through university. What is it? What was the grace that kept me? God had, over the years, given me a root in myself. And God had taught me to have a personal relationship with him, and that the most important person to please in my life was not the friend, but was God. Amen. These are they who, when the word is preached, they receive it with gladness. But because they have no root in themselves, they endure only for a short while. Unless you have a root in yourself, and that root is Christ, you are not going anywhere to happen. I can promise you. Amen. Many storms are going to blow. When I was in Lagon, there was something called October Rush. And what the October Rush meant was that we went to school in October, the freshers. So when we went to school in October, then all the boys were waiting for the freshers to come because we were fresh from high school. And then at that October Rush, you could just be in your room and somebody will knock and say, oh, I just spotted you in the library and I passed by to say hello. You know, it's part of a... And there I was, a Christian, but for the first time, no rising bell, no lights out, no parents to know where you go, no parents to say, don't go here, don't do this, there's nothing like that. I said, here comes freedom, I can't even believe it. But I was still a Scripture Union member. I owe so much to SU. I owe so much to SU. SU brought us up as little children, from one, from two. SU has produced the Bishop Dags, the Minnesota Bills, the Takiya Boys. SU has done so much for us. And in SU, I was taught to have my quiet time. And SU told me that when I take my Bible, I should pray that open my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of your holy law. SU taught me, and my Sunday school teacher also, who led me to Christ, taught me that the word of God was important. So every morning, I knew that I had to have my quiet time. Can you believe that many years on, today, I'm a lady pastor. My foundation was what I was taught when I was young, just like you. The root in myself kept me even in Lagos. The winds blew, yes, very vehement winds. The winds of October rush. And when the winds blew, I said, these SU boys, they are very, very boring. But these other boys, they are very interesting. They make me laugh. So even though I was in SU, I was still contemplating at this stage of my life to have friends who were not SU. And every time I walked to the law faculty, there was this guy in Akwafo Hall, which is on the way to the law faculty. And he would come down from the back and say, oh, I always noticed that you walk this path, so I thought I'd walk you down. Every afternoon I had a lecture. And I think every afternoon he was free, but he was ahead of me. And then sometimes he would come and say, oh, I thought the afternoon would be very cold, hot, so I brought you a cold drink. Here you are. I was going for fellowship, all right. I was even sometimes leading the fellowship. But I was also contemplating this nice friend that I had found. Nothing had happened. But the root in myself told me that you cannot be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Because the Bible said so. So I said, if that's the case, then I have to convert to this brother. What they call, convert to possess. So I went and I spoke to him about Christ. And I invited him to give his life to Christ. The fastest conversion you've ever seen. Do you want to give your life to Christ? Yes. Do you want to pray? Yes. Now. When? So I thought I'd warn him to Christ. He said to me, the way you have preached to me, I'm so repentant that even I was going for a party, but I will not go because you have spoken to me. After that, I asked him, do you have a Bible? Then he took a chair and stood up. Said, when I was coming to school, my mother gave me a Bible. He was looking for it. I said, don't worry, tomorrow I'll bring you a Bible. So now you are born again. You are a new creature. And you're going to start a new life. I'm so happy. I mean, now you have talked to me. I'm so touched. Then the next day, I met a friend of mine. I said, this guy gave his life to Christ. My friend was not a serious Christian. Said, are you sure he was at the party yesterday, going down, coming up? He had received the word, but Satan had come to steal the word. Then I went to my room, and I don't know, somehow I just felt like praying. My roommate had gone home, and I just felt like praying. So when I got to the room, I just locked the door, turned my lights off, and I knelt by my bed. And I just started to pray. Suddenly, there was a very deep conviction from the Holy Spirit. And God said, therefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. And I will be your God, and you shall be my people. I said, what? Can this be God? Does God know what love is? And so, as I stayed on my knees, I wept. more than the tears were more than the water in Akosu Budam. And I said, Lord, I'm not going to try to force things. When the person is not born again, I'm trying to say the person is born again. When the person is an unbeliever, I'm trying to say I'm going to convert the unbeliever. Lord, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to come out from everything. I hadn't started any relationship, but I knew on the road where the road will lead to. And I was crying so much, and I said, Lord, I give it all up for the excellency of the knowledge of you. What is it that made me kneel down before the root? The root in yourself. The root of having walked with God. The root of having eaten God's word piecemeal every day. The root of having been familiar with walking with the Holy Spirit told me that this is not of God. And I gave it up, like I told you. If my tears were being collected, it could have generated electricity from Akosu Budam. But I gave it up. And the next day, I saw that all my wishy-washy friends had fallen off from me. It was a very lonely road for about 2 weeks. But the root in myself, which was the word of God, told me that every believer has a cross and a price to pay. So I paid that price, and God brought me through with his great healing hand, and I kept walking on. So yes, the winds blew, but because the root in myself, not because I'm such a great person, but because it's a work the Holy Spirit does in you, that root, that seed would not release me to be somebody else. Yes, I wanted to take a boyfriend, but the root in me would not allow it. The word in me would not let me go. And tonight, you too can have a heart like that, where you have a root in yourself, but it doesn't just happen. It happens with you wanting and desiring to be close to God. Hallelujah. It doesn't happen just by wishing. It's good to wish, but you also have to pay a price. The Bible says they have no root in themselves, and so they endure only for a short time. Afterward, when affliction, which means trouble, or persecution, arise. Why? For the word's sake. Affliction and persecution arise for the word's sake. The word of God causes Satan to stir up affliction and persecution in your life. Amen? The Bible says for the word's sake, not for your beauty's sake. Not for any sake, but the word. Because of the word that has been sown, because of the word that's going forth this evening, some of you say, Lady Reverend, I even had peace. Since I decided to walk with God seriously, all hell has broken loose because affliction and persecution arise for the word's sake. Amen? Whenever the word of God comes, Satan will also send affliction and persecution. Whenever God speaks even a promise to his children, when God gave Joseph the dream and told him what his future was going to be, that was the word. Immediately, affliction and persecution rose up at a height he had never known. It is the same with you. When you hear a word about devotion to God, expect affliction and persecution. When you hear a word about going all out, dying on the cross, sacrificing your life, expect affliction and persecution to arise, because they come because of the word of God. Because Satan does not want the word to be planted in us. Amen. And these are they. And immediately they are offended. The offended here doesn't mean that you get angry. But it means that you become displeased, indignant, resentful, and then you stumble and fall. That's what Amplified says. They immediately are offended. They become displeased, indignant, that's angry, resentful, that's bitter, and they stumble and fall away. You say, Lady Reverend, since I gave my life to Christ, why is it that things rather are going worse? Since I met Christ and I said, I'm going on, why is it that unbelievers rather are prospering? And me that have decided to walk with God, things are not going on well. Because by reason of the word, affliction and persecution will rise in your life. Amen? But you don't have to give up because of that. Now the next group are they where the seed is sown on thorns. Are you here? And the ones sown among the thorns are others who hear the word of God. Then the cares of the world and distractions of the age, anxieties of the world and distractions of the age, and the pleasure and delight and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches and the craving and passionate desires for other things creep in and choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless. Amen, somebody. The Bible says when the word of God is sown, when your heart is thorny, the cares of this world will choke the word. So the word is there, all right. It's trying to grow. It's trying to mature. It's trying to give you root in yourself. But the cares of this world, the cares of this world are not necessarily sinful, but they have the ability to choke the word. What are the cares of this world? My school fees. What will I eat the next day? I have to pay bills. What about utility bills? How am I going to survive the future? How will things be? The cares, the normal cares of this world. You can be so embroiled in them that it will choke the word of God out of you. You become so used to sorting yourselves out, trying to solve your problems by yourself, finding ways out of things. It is not wrong, but it can take preeminence over Christ such that it chokes the word of God in your life. The cares of this world. And then what else? The deceitfulness of riches. The deceitfulness of riches. You know, when you are in school like this, sometimes you have people who come from affluent families. They come from, then maybe you come from a very poor home. When it's visiting, nobody comes. Or even if they come, someone might drink tin of Gary. You know? Then you see people, they have KFC, they have pizza, they are carrying it. And you say, hey, when will my life ever change? When will things become okay for me? But it's because you are looking at things not by faith, but just on the eye level. When we were in school, the same things that you are experiencing and saying, oh, were all around us. And we thought that everybody's destiny was marked. Like, if you come from a rich home, it means that you have a bright future. And if you come from a poor home, it means that your future is not so bright. But as I have grown and had some years pass, I have seen that God is faithful and that what was chosen, which was Christ, has made my mates who were not so well off turn out all right in the long run. And those who seem to be rich did not necessarily end up in a good place. So when you are this age, that's what you see. And the deceitfulness of riches can lead you. Some of you are a student, all right, but your body is a kiosk. When you are on holiday, men will use your body. And for that, they will give you money to do weave on. You will get Brazilian, Peruvian, and Nigerian hair. And you would think that, yeah, I'm really living. That is the deceitfulness of riches. Many years ago, I was in Volta Hall in the university. And there was this lady who used to really dress from head to toe. And she had good taste. You know, some people like to dress, but they don't have good taste. It doesn't work. When they are coming, it looks like everything is busy, as if something. But this lady had good taste. And every time she walked by, you know, there was a big middle walkway in Volta Hall. And maybe people will be standing there chatting, whatever. But every time she walked by in her smart high heels, and she doesn't have to say anything. Everybody will be quiet, and then everybody turns. We were not men. We were ladies, but her spots were so wild that everybody would just turn. The whole place would become quiet. Then one day, we stayed in school because it was exam week. And my sister and I were standing in front of our room looking down. Then we saw that this lady that we always saw that she had spotted, she was being dragged by a man. And the man said, "So why are you cheating on me? I took you to Hong Kong, one slap. I took you to New York, one slap. What about the fridge in your room? Two knocks. Hey!" We were very surprised. And then he bundled the lady and took her to the car park, into his car. Beating her, "The red carpet on your floor, who bought it? Pam." The deceitfulness of riches. She felt that she must get everything now. And she must get it by all means and through any means. And there are many, even in our churches, living that kind of life. Why? Because riches deceive you. And riches make you feel that you must go for it at every cost. You must do this at any cost. It doesn't matter what the word of God says. It doesn't matter what... Don't become a Christian. You will be deprived of something. The deceitfulness of riches. Riches have the ability to deceive you. Amen, somebody. Some of you say, "Hey, as for poverty, I've lived in it all my life. I'll never see it again." So your whole ambition is just academic. It's good to have academic ambitions. But that is not what earns you salvation or earns you a certain type of walk with God, the deceitfulness of riches. And the lust for other things. When you have lust, it means that you have a strong drive for something that you will sacrifice anything to get. Some of the brothers, it's your strong sexual drive at any cost. You are going to internet sites you have no business going to. Because you are being driven. The Holy Spirit leads. It is demons who drive and compel. The Holy Spirit always leads. When it's God, He leads you. He doesn't drive you. So when you have a desire, you say, "Lady Reverend, I can't overcome it. I have to sleep with anything in skirt. I can't overcome it." It's the lust for other things. You are so addicted to social media. You have no time to spend time in the Word of God. You don't invest in anything spiritual. Every day you say you don't have money, but you buy foolish things. The lust for other things. The lust for friends. You don't come from a very wealthy home, so you always want to look for friends who are up there so that you can move with them. So at any cost, the lust for other things. You want to feel important. But tonight, God is saying, don't let these chokers choke the word in your life. The word in my life was almost choked by that foolish boy in Lagos. After Christ has gone to the cross to die for me, and sisters, the brothers will never die for you, but Jesus will die for you. Anybody who writes to you, "My love for you is so much, I will even die for you," tell him, "Lady Reverend said it's a lie from hell." Amen, sisters. The lust, the unbridled desire, unbridled drive, indisciplined drive, nothing will restrain you. It's not of God. And that can choke the word. The word is there, all right. But when you choke and strangle something, it can't grow and it cannot be fruitful. I pray that that will not be your story tonight. Amen. I look back now and I thank God for leading me by the Holy Spirit to sacrifice what I thought I was sacrificing, which was that foolish boy. Later on, he came to have a lot of girlfriends in my hall, and I saw him break their hearts like a serial killer, from here to here to here to here. And the Holy Spirit said to me, this would have been your life. And from that day, I didn't need to tell anybody, you know, I've made this decision in my room and I've really changed it. Because when a tree dies, the leaves fall naturally off. When you die to the self, to the flesh, to the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the lust for other things, the things in you die, the leaves themselves will fall. And you yourselves, some people will not like to associate with you when those leaves die, because you have become a genuine child of God. The greatest influence on your life as a young person is the type of friends you have. And some of you, the strong desire for evil friendships must die with you in your heart tonight. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 33, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. It doesn't matter how good you are. When bad company comes in, you will become the baddest of the bad. You will be surprised. So don't say, oh, you know, Lady Reverend, I'm a very moral person, but this, my friend, is very bad, but she cannot affect me. Are you wiser than God? That's why God said, don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Amen. I told you about my friend. We had to go separate ways. Because what I loved was not what she loved. What I cherished was not what she cherished. She had so many boyfriend problems, always. And then when she got to the brink, she would come to me, Adley, what should I do? Pray for me. I said, come back to the God we knew and the God we served. And today, I say to the glory of God, she's back in the kingdom and she's doing great things for God. But that is after going through the school of hard knocks. Don't use your life as a guinea pig in the laboratory of life. Believe God's word. Don't become a lab specimen to prove anything. Because God's word has been tried like silver, the Bible says. The word of God has been tried several times and has been purified. So you don't need to go, okay, let me go and befriend an unbeliever and take a boyfriend and then see whether God's word is true. Let me defile my body and then see whether God's word is true. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust for other things. Some of you are forming very bad habits in school. Pornography is killing you. The Bible says about Lot in 2 Peter 3 verse 8, I believe. If it's not 2 Peter, then it's 1 Peter. That righteous man, in seeing and in hearing, vexed his righteous soul. The things you see and the things you hear affect the state of your soul. Amen, somebody? So Lot just went to live in Sodom, but by seeing and by hearing, he vexed his righteous soul. Amen? It's a good verse to keep in mind. So what you see and what you hear affects the state of your spiritual, the condition of your spirit. Amen? So all those dark things you are doing, they choke the word of God. And it's driven by lust. It's driven by the desire for certain things. Look, sex is not your idea, it's God's idea. Sex was not invented by unbelievers on the internet. It was invented by God. But God is saying it must be done at the right time and in the right context. Amen. Anything that is done prematurely or in the wrong time becomes a wrong thing. And when you are doing a wrong thing, you are always wondering if somebody is coming. Are they coming? Is your mother home? No, she's not home. Can I come? Where? But when you are married in a godly way, you will not be looking around the world to see, is your mother coming? Because it is God's idea. God is only saying, I need to teach you certain things. For instance, he needs to teach you self-control. When you get married, you work in the UN. Your wife is at home. You have to travel somewhere. How can you be faithful if when you were young, you didn't allow God to teach you self-control in your body? You've never been self-controlled. You have a UN meeting, and you are doing all sorts of things because we have sent you to Rwanda. And when you come back with Ebola, the Zika virus, and AIDS. Why? You didn't allow the Holy Spirit to teach you self-control. Turn to the person next to you and say, no Zika virus. It's the Holy Ghost virus that should infect you. Amen. Lastly, I just want you to know that the word of God can be choked, it can be strangled, it can be suffocated out of your life, and it becomes fruitless. And then the last group are those who the word of God falls on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit. Psalm 30. Are you there? Psalm 30. And Psalm how much? And Psalm what? Yes. So God never asks of us something he has not given us. When he gave the man 5 talents, the man was able to produce 10. When he gave 2, the other one produced 4. But he never said to the 4, why don't you have 10? Because he knows what he has given you before you will even reap that word. Amen. And so we all have to aim to be this type of good ground. They hear the word of God. They receive it, which some groups did. And then thirdly, they bring forth fruit. These days in the body of Christ, there is no fruit. You hear the word, you receive it, but you don't bear any fruit. The Bible says in Galatians 5:22, the fruits of the Holy Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, self-control. Amen? Kindness. We are not seeing any of these now in our lives. We just know activity. Go to church, attend church, move everywhere. When it's praises, dance to your heart's desire, but there's no fruit. But if indeed the word is sown on good soil, you will hear it, you will receive it, and it will bear fruit. I say to the glory of God that it's many years of the word being put in my life that has made me bear the fruit I'm bearing up to this day. I fear God. And when I say I fear God, I mean I respect him. When I'm doing something, I ask myself, what is God's will for my life? When I met my husband, although he was a handsome dude, I was not led by his handsomeness. I was led by, is this God's will for my life? Why did I have that mind? Because the word of God had been deposited in my heart many times. And the word of God had taught me, in all your ways, not some, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So I went to God and I said, God, the man is fine, but is it your will for my life? The word of God must bring forth some fruit, some result in your life. Amen. Now, when Christians, boy meets girl, there's no prayer. There's no asking of God's opinion. There's no, in all your ways, acknowledge him. You acknowledge him in none of your ways. You just decide. I'm looking for 6'4", Lady Reverend. I'm looking for a man with a husky voice so that when he says, I love you, say, baby, how are you? I love you. Then he said, oh, when he spoke, I was just melting. It's not as many as are melting. It's as many as are led by the Spirit of God. Because God holds the future and he knows the future. So you hear the word of God, you receive it, but there's no fruit. Christians marry, they talk to each other anyhow. Christians meet each other, they fornicate more than unbelievers. Preachers are asked anything, they lie. They lie as if they are breathing. Your lying is like how you take in oxygen. It's so easy. You lie about everything. There's no fruit in your life. Yes, as for gifts, you have it. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of speaking in tongues, the gift of, but real fruit, you don't have it. But if the word of God falls on a good heart, you hear it, you receive it, and you bear fruit. Yes, witnessing is a way of bearing fruit, but the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit bears fruit by changing you. How come you, when you speak in tongues, it's more than a tractor coming? When the Spirit of God comes, oh, shakalamayanana. But in your life, there's no fruit. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they shall see your good works and give glory to God. When I became born, I was the only Christian in my house. Everybody was a church goer, but being born again, no. And I'm the youngest girl in my house, and we are 13 children. Nine boys and four girls. And I was the only Christian in the midst of them. Because God called me from a very tender age. And I used to pray for my brothers. God, touch them. God, save them. God, take the blindness from their eyes. Because the Bible says that the God of this world has blinded them. God, bring them to salvation. And I say to the glory of God, today most of my brothers are pastors. That's what God can do. What made them interested in the God I was serving? They said, our sister has changed. Our sister has seen something that we have not seen. Our sister's life, by the grace of God, testifies to us. Is it because I was some super lady or superwoman? No. But because the Holy Spirit will always bear fruit in your life if you will allow him. My father would call me and say, I have this problem. Come and pray with me. And I'll say, Daddy, shall we kneel down? And my father will kneel down by my side. And I'll say, God in heaven, Daddy is having this problem in his business. Would you please send help and deliver him and give him a breakthrough? And God would do it. Let your light so shine. I was persecuted a lot in my house. When I got a beloved in university who was Bishop Dag, I used to pray, Lord, help me to marry my first beloved. I don't want to go and experiment anything. I don't want to do trial and error. You know, like mathematics, you have trial and error. What's the name of that topic? What? Percentage? No. Anyway. I said, Lord, I don't know how it's going to be, but just let me marry my first beloved. And Lord, let me also be his first beloved. And God answered that prayer. Amen. I have no regret for walking with Jesus all these years. I have no regret for giving my life to him from the age of 9. These are they who hear the word of God, receive it, and bear fruit. Where are your fruits? Ask the person next to you. All your Christianity, where are the fruits? Because the Bible says the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Once the Holy Spirit is there, it will bear that fruit if you allow it. It says some will bear 30, some will bear 60, and some 100-fold. But by all means, you will bear some fruit. But many of us have quenched the Holy Spirit in our lives. Many of us have grieved the Holy Spirit because we are following our things. But tonight, God is giving us all a chance to come back. It's not about who is sitting or who is right. It's not about whether you are popular or whether you are known. It's not about whether you are in SU or you are not in SU. It's not about whether people think you are serious, but you know you are not serious. It's not about you having a double life and continuing in that. It's about yielding and saying, Lady Reverend, tonight, I choose to have a heart with a good soil. And tonight, Lady Reverend, like you did in Lagon, I put everything on the altar and I make a decision to go all out for Jesus. I pray that that will be your prayer tonight, that the fruit of the Holy Spirit will be made manifest in your life. When the Holy Spirit is in your life, it will affect your marriage. It will affect your studies. It will affect the way you speak. It will affect the way you treat people. It will affect your witness in life, because you will be so changed that many will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. It is the word of God that bears fruit in my heart that made me leave my legal profession and come full time to serve the Lord. Sometimes people will say to my children, oh, your mother left a prestigious profession to do this job that everybody is a thief in. My children say, what job is that? I said, pastors. All pastors are thieves. But Paul said, I count everything by dung for the excellency of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is what God has done in my life that I desperately want young people to have. That's why I'm here tonight. I'm here to save you from the clutches of Satan, from the clutches of the cares of this world, from the clutches of the deceitfulness of riches, and to say in 2016, this summer, this holiday, let it be a different holiday. And let the Holy Ghost empower you to serve God and to let his word bear fruit in your life. Stand to your feet, everybody. Every eye closed and every head bowed. I want you to think about what has been preached. I want you to tell God, tonight, I'm changing the soil of my heart. I'm changing the state of my heart, because God gives you the ability to do that. Just say, Lord, my heart is going to be fertile. It's going to hear the word, receive the word, and act upon the word. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. Oh, make it your prayer. And mean it with your heart. It's not a group decision. It's a personal decision. Sing it to the Lord. No turning back. I have decided. It's your decision. It's personal. I have decided. Yes, to follow Jesus. I have decided, yes, to follow Jesus. No turning back.
No turning back.
The cross before me. The world behind me. Yes, the world behind you. Oh, sing it. Oh, yes, Jesus. Before. Oh, lift up your hands as a sign of surrender to Him. No turning back. Help me sing it. Take all the whole world. Take all the whole world and give me Jesus. Take all the whole world with its cares, deceitfulness, with a lust for other things. Take all the whole world. Oh, because when you have Jesus, you have it all. No turning back. Join, still I won't follow. Oh, no one join me. Yeah, still I won't follow. Oh, no one join me. Still I won't follow. No turning back. Every eye closed, every head bowed. You want to say this evening, Lady Reverend, pray for me. I'm not sure whether I'll go to heaven or hell when I die. Lady Reverend, I want to be sure. Tonight, I want to make a commitment to God. Lady Reverend, I've been playing games with God. Tonight, I can see why some people are not serious with God. Lady Reverend, it's because of the state of their hearts. But tonight, I want to cry on God and the Holy Spirit to give me another chance. You are like that here this evening. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Just lift up your hands high above your shoulder. The world is not afraid to be gay. The world is not shy to fornicate. Why should you be ashamed of the gospel? God bless you. I see your hands. God bless you. I see your hands. And if you've lifted up your hands, do one more thing. Come to where I'm standing. Give me the privilege of leading you to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You lifted up your hands. Come. Come. Come to me. I saw your hands. Come. Come. Come to Jesus. Come to the fountain of living water. Come to the water that never runs dry. Come. Come from everywhere. Come from the back. Come from the middle. Come from the right. Come. It's not a group thing. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Come. Jesus is calling you. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on his portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling. Some of you standing in the crowd, the Lord is telling me, This is your chance to come forward. Green leaves fall and brown leaves fall. God is giving you another chance. We are waiting for you to join us here. Come home. Forget about who is on your left, who is on your right. Your heart is beating. You are the one I'm talking to. Come and join us here for the final prayer. I just want you to say this prayer after me and mean it with all your heart. Say, dear Jesus, tonight I come to you just as I am. Jesus, take my life and make it your own. Forgive me for my sins. Wash me by your blood. Thank you for dying on the cross so that I may be saved. Thank you for rising from the dead so that I may have a new life in Jesus Christ. Jesus, tonight I make a new commitment to walk with you all the way. Help me and give me grace in Jesus' name. Satan, listen to me carefully. Christ has set me free. I'm free indeed. I break every link with you. I'm now a child of God. And my name is written in the book of life. Amen. God bless you. Happy birthday. You are born again. It's a time to put your hands together for what God has done. And I want to encourage you. Don't let it end here. Let it bear fruit in your life. When coals are together, their fire doesn't go out. You need fellowship and you need the word of God to grow. I just have some books for you. Please wait for your books. And then you can go back to your seat. Is there anybody going to see them after? God bless you. When you get your book, you may go back. May the Lord keep you and sustain you and deliver you in Jesus' name. More books, please, quickly. 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 Is there anybody on this side? God bless you. May you be established. May you not fall by the wayside. May the Lord keep you and may you bear fruit in Jesus' name. More books, more books. Why is Ephra the only one? More books. Nobody on my left. More books. On my left. God bless you. God bless you. Please, can we have more books up? If you haven't got a book, please don't sit. Please don't sit. Take one each. I don't know why you went back. Why? Share it to them. Where are you taking? How many? One each, please. God bless you. God bless you. How you can become a strong Christian? I pray that you will be a reader of the word and a doer of the word also. Amen. Now for those of you who did not give your lives to Christ or have given your lives to Christ already, I am still going to give you copies of the book. So they'll be sharing it to you. God bless you. Please take your seats. I want to pray finally before I sit down. Lord, I pray for this school. I pray that your presence will be established here. I drive out every darkness and every opposition to the gospel in the name of Jesus. Lord, let your throne and your scepter be here. Touch lives forever and let them be transformed. Thank you for your blessing with no sorrow added on the school and on all that are hearing. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.